Torah Way Northwest London, Thursday, Chof Tes Shvat, 11th of February. Harav Amram Nemeth Shlita, Shabbos in the Kitchen, Part 3.
Rishus, my father, and Colin Masubin Khan this morning. As an introduction to Shabbos a few weeks ago, when I started teaching a course on various halachas, I talked about the famous differentiation between the word melacha and the word avoida. Because people were asking, isn't the famous question that to rest on Shabbos is to do what I consider to be considered rest, and not necessarily what Chazal ordained in the 39 melachas? So there's a famous answer, and I think it's the Ksava Kabbalah, but I didn't see it recently. I think it's in Parshas Kisisa, of the difference between Avoida and the difference between Melacha. Melacha means creative work, and Avoida means non-creative work. And on Shabbos, we're instructed, Loisase kol Melacha. Don't do anything that will be creative and create something new. For example, writing, cooking. Those are creative acts, whereas a non-creative act of work is avoida, something that a slave is asked to do. It's not necessarily something that creates something new. It could be a monotonous task of moving tables from one area of the room to another, and that's mutar on Shabbos. We're not told lo sasu kol avoida, we're told lo sasu kol melacha. Don't do any creative work, and that's where the 39 melachas come from. And the reason why is to remember that Hashem created the world and stopped creating on Shabbos. So too we create the whole week and we stop creating on Shabbos. But Avoida, which is non-creative work, is not prohibited. Because that doesn't help you remember the Maaseh Bereishis. And it doesn't help you remember that Hashem stopped as well. So it's Leisasa Kol Melacha. The 39 Melachas are by and large based on creative work. Then I started teaching these people that I was teaching about Chazara on Shabbos. You can't return to the stove. Shehiyah, you have to make sure you have a blech, or your knobs should be covered, as we discussed here a couple of months ago. And Nesina Lechatchila, even if something is fully cooked before Shabbos, you can't put it straight on the flame unless there are various exceptions. So someone said, I don't understand. You introduced the whole course by saying we're about to understand the malachas of Shabbos, and the malachas of Shabbos are based on anything that's creative, and anything that's non-creative is not forbidden on Shabbos. And for the past month, all we've learnt about is covering things and not putting things back, and none of that seems very creative to me at all, which is a fair question. And it ruined the whole introduction was, for half an hour, the difference between malacha, creative, and avoida, lo sasa kol malacha. Don't do any creative work. And all we've learnt about, the person said, is covering a blech, is returning things to a fire, covering a stove, and then thirdly, is not putting a silver foil container and putting a pot on top. There's nothing creative about that, and that's correct. And the answer, I think, the similar question is asked by Ryakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Emoy and Parshas Bereishis. And the answer is because all these are Dinei Darabanan, and we'll discuss some of them throughout this year. They're not midaraisa, the lessons that we discuss. Chazara, the fact that you have to hold on to your pot until you return it. Shehiya, the fact that you have to cover your flame. And the sina lechatchila, you can't put things directly on the fire because it's mechzika mevashel, because it looks like you're cooking. They're all midarabana. So the question is, so why didn't Hashem write it in the Torah? That's what Rabbi Yaakov asks. It seems like an interesting question. Loads of halachas are derabana. But asks Rabbi Yaakov in Parashas Bereishis and mainly in Parashas Emoy, so why didn't Hashem write the Dinei Darabanan? If Hashem didn't write it in the Torah, why did the Rabbanan come later on and write it? If it's not good enough for him, it's not good enough for us as well. So what's the reason why maybe after Zman Bayis Sheni, where many of the takonas I think were instituted, we have a takona, let's say, of not riding on Shabbos on a wagon because you might come and fix the wheel. But put that in the Torah then. That's not a creative work, so it should be out. That's Rabbi Yaakov's question. And the answer that he gives, I think, is very profound, and it's a broader answer which explains many Dinei Darabanan. He says that Klal Yisrael go through, as we know, there's Yiridas HaDoros, and the feeling that we have towards Yiddishkeit, unfortunately, can lessen throughout the generations as we get further away from HaSinai, further away from Zman HaMikdash, and further away from Zman of Chazal, as we get more, unfortunately, into Golas. And therefore we need stronger reminders to, so to speak, bring us back to what we're meant to be doing. Maybe in Zman Dor HaMidbar, or maybe in Zman, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was inconceivable that if you would complete a business transaction on Shabbos, that you would write something, because it's Shabbos. And Hashem stopped resting on Shabbos, and maybe there was more of a feeling that I obviously can't do that. So maybe it was permitted to do some business deals, which is, could be Derabbanan. Why? Because a person would never have come to write. Nowadays, when we've lessened, where the feelings, unfortunately, many of us have, obviously there's always going to be differences amongst people, but generally speaking, many of us are much further away. We don't naturally feel the inclination to keep away from writing because it's Shabbos. Therefore, Derabbanan needed to make gezeiras. Of course, they're all based on the Torah, as in many asmachtas, and many Derabbanans, they're all found in the Torah, with hinted to either with many other ways. Obviously, that's a shir in itself. But Loisoso gives Derabbanan a right later on to make takanas as they're needed in the times of Chazal. What?
The demon of pence.
Yeah, okay, well, well they would write with, yeah, well, fair enough. But similar says Rabbi Yaakov, with a wagon, riding would be forbidden on Shabbos because the wheel might fall off. Originally, 2,500 years ago, if your wheel would fall off, it would be inconceivable for you to fix it on because it's Shabbos today. But now we've lost that feeling slightly, and therefore we need the Derabbanans to, so to speak, keep us within the framework of keeping the Torah properly. So that's the answer, and that's obviously the answer for Chazara and Shahia as well. It's not a creative work, but it stops you from stoking the flame, and it stops you from coming to cook on Shabbos. Maybe originally, when you've just received the Torah from Hashem, and you're inspired because maybe your great-grandparents actually were standing there at Har Sinai, it's easier for you and it's more natural for you to keep away. But sadly, we don't have the same sort of feeling, and therefore we need the Derabbanans to keep us in. So we've discussed a few Derabbanans over the past couple of shiurim, over the past couple of months. I want to give one last shiur on Bishul, but I want to speak about types of food that can be eaten raw. I want to speak about types of food that are already cooked. And I also want to, if we have time, discuss how these halachas relate to the halachas of basar b'chalav, of cooking meat and milk. So it's forbidden to take a piece of meat that's raw on Shabbos and cook it. That's bishul. It's forbidden to take a potato that's raw and cook it. That's a maisa bishul. Put it on the fire and you've transgressed the halacha of oifer as it's written in the Mishnah. Now what about raw food that can be eaten raw? Like an apple or a pear. You can eat it raw. Do you transgress the malacha of Bishal if you cook it on Shabbos? Because it could be the malacha was only if you take a piece of food that cannot be eaten raw and you create it to be eaten raw. The takana and what you've done to the food is enabled it to be eaten. But it's likely to say that if the food was edible even without you cooking it, maybe you don't transgress the malacha of Bishal at all. Is everyone happy with that distinction? It's an interesting one, and it's not pasken halacha because there's always dinei derabbanan. If you go back to the din d'oraisa of what's considered to be cooking, it's cooking any kind of food that you cook, you make any kind of change to the state of the food, that's the malacha of bishul. Or is bishul if you take a food that's unedible if it's raw and create it to be edible? Classically, like a piece of meat or a potato. Whereas an apple or a pear, which is the example of the Mechaba and Rebbe Kiva Eger in Shin Yud Ches, of course not. That's not Bishul, maybe. Because it was edible before. You haven't done enough to the food. You haven't created enough because it was anyway edible. And the Rambam says in Perek Tes Mehilchas Bishul, Halacha Gimel, Rambam compares presumably to Bishul Akum. We know one of the halachas of Bishul Akum, of a non-Jew cooking for us, is if it can be eaten raw, it's not considered to be part of the halachas of Bishul Akum. Gvarin avoy de zorah daf lamed ches. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav. Kol hanefil k'moy shehu chai. Any food types that can be eaten raw. Ein boy mishum bishulei ovli kachavin. Doesn't come into the halachas of Bishul Akum. So the Rambam says the same with Shabbos as well. Hamavashal ala ar. In Perek Tes, halacha gemal. Dovash umavushal kol sargah, something that's completely cooked, like a piece of meat which is completely cooked. Oy dovash she'ein ay tzarach bishul klal, or something that doesn't need to be cooked at all. Potter, avalasa. Maybe there'll be other dini derabbanan that tell you not to do it. But it could be that's not considered to be bishul midaraisa. Midaraisa, it was taking a raw food that was unedible and making it edible and ready to eat. It's hukshul la'achila. Whereas an apple or a pear, you put on the fire and you soften it, it may be slightly nicer, you can make it into a compote or other food types, but it was still edible prior to this, and therefore according to the Rambam, it's not part of the bishul of the Torah. That's the first different type of bishul that I want to discuss. And that's l'chayra the Rambam. But it's not so obvious. And if you look in Shin Yud Ches, in Hilchos Bishul, in the Shaar HaTzion, in Kuf Yud Dalet, when the Chofetz Chaim asks a question, the Shaar HaTzion asks a question, what about water? Water on Shabbos, you cannot cook, and you cannot heat. And presumably, from the Gemara, in the Gemara in Perek Kira, we see that's a Malacha Daraisa. And that's also, water can also be had raw, so to speak, or before it's cooked. And we know you do transgress Bishul if you cook water. So ask the Shaar HaTzion, why is water any different to the fruit that the Rambam mentioned? So I'll just go back. The Rambam seemed to say that fruit, or anything that can be eaten without it being cooked, is not included in the Malacha of Bishul on Shabbos. Bishul on Shabbos means creating something to be edible. This was already edible. Comes down the Shaar HaTzion and Kuf Yud Dalet and Shin Yud Ches. Wait, that's not true. Because Mayim, water, one transgresses Bishul if they cook it on Shabbos. And Mayim is the same as an apple. It can be eaten before, before it's cooked. So what's the difference between the two? So don't we see a raya from Chazal that was never what they had in mind when they said Bishul? Bishul means any kind of change to the food rather than just making it edible. That's what the Shaar HaTzion says. And he says there must be, the Rambam meant foods that the cooking doesn't enhance at all. Like a melon maybe, if you put it next to the fire, the cooking won't make any difference to it at all. It must be, says the Shaar HaTzion, that's what the Rambam is referring to. Because it cannot be that food that doesn't need to be cooked is not included in the Malacha of Bishul. However, that's not obvious. And many argue on that. And Rabbi Kiva Eger in Shin Yud Ches, in Reish Nun Dalet, Sif Dalet, says that according to the Rambam, if you cook on Shabbos, food that was edible before you cooked it, only a din drabanan. That was never what Bishul was meant to be. The other drabanans, obviously like all the other drabanans, to keep you away from cooking on Shabbos. But it's not Bishul. So there's the Rambam, there's the Shaar HaTzion who says, the Rambam's not referring to foods that are edible before you cook them. Because that's impossible, because water is always the proof. Because we know water, you are chayv if you cook it on Shabbos. And if you're liable if you cook water, why should water be any different to raw fruit? Does that question make sense? Yeah? So if water is the same as fruit, and we see water you're liable for, then you should presumably straight away be liable for any kind of food that's raw, but edible when it's raw. That's the Shaar HaTzion's question. So it says the Shaar HaTzion Rambam means something else. Comes on Rabbi Kiva Eger in Reish Nun Dalet, says it's not true. According to the Rambam, it's only Darabanan. Well, now what's Rabbi Kiva Eger going to do with water? That's a good question. Because water, you could have water whilst it was still raw, whilst it was still uncooked. And if you could have water whilst it was still uncooked, what's the difference to fruit? If you've lost me a bit, slightly, I'm just going to go to some halacha now that will to answer this question and move on to our first principle. The Iglei Tal in Meleches HaOifer says that water can be treated differently to other food. Maybe water, you transgress Bishul by cooking water by heating it rather than cooking it. And you improve its status and you're over the Malacha of Bishul not by cooking it but by heating it. And we often find in the Lashonis of Chazal and in the Rambam that we say hamavashal esa oichal, one who cooks food, v'hamachamim esamayim, one who heats up water. And that means that, and it is a famous distinction, I understand, but we're going to see it in a minute, how it's more relevant halachically, but what the Iglei Tal is introducing to us, that don't put all food types together, and definitely don't put water together with regular food. And therefore, let me finish explain how that answers the question. And therefore, it could be water you transgress by heating it, because that's a different kind of malacha of Bishul. There, the malacha is to heat it up and to make hot water ready for someone to have a hot drink for an unwell person or to have a coffee. That's incomparable to fruit, because fruit stays the same the whole way through. There's an apple and there's a slightly softer apple. You have cold water, which is completely different to hot water. Cold water is something you have when you're thirsty. Hot water is something you have, maybe if you're unwell, or if you want to have a hot drink, or if you want to cook, heat up other foods. In that instance, it's incomparable, hot water after it's heated up, to before it's heated up. Because it's achieving something completely different, and it's doing something completely different. Cold water is something you have when you're thirsty, or maybe to wash something. Hot water is something you can cook with, you can mix coffee beans with, you can make tea with. It's a completely different type of liquid to cold water. And you transgress it not by cooking it, by heating it up to be ready. To be ready to be used for all these types of things that you want to do with water. And that's incomparable to fruit. And although the Iglei Tal is unsure about this principle, what's definitely true is that we know there's a principle called Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. You can't cook after you cook. And that's a Mishnah in Shabbos and Kuf Mem Hei. You cannot cook after you cook. And definitely by Dava Yovesh, if something dry, like a piece of meat or a potato, is completely cooked, it cannot be cooked again. That's what we know. There's an argument amongst the Poskim whether that applies to liquid as well. Once liquid's cooked, can you reheat that on Shabbos? And the Rambam says you can. The Ran says you can. Once it's cooked, it's cooked. Whereas the Mechaber paskins that you cannot. And if something has fallen below the temperature of Yad Soledes Boy, you cannot reheat it on Shabbos. So I'll just go back to what we've said. We started off talking about raw fruit, and we differentiated between raw fruit and cold water. If you lost me on that one, then forget that bit, because now we've moved on, therefore, to the next part. The next part is, what happens if you have recooking on Shabbos? Are you allowed to recook on Shabbos? So if something's originally cooked, if it's mavusha cold sarakai and it's dry, you're allowed to cook it on Shabbos again because that's not considered to be cooking. You're not changing it in any tangible way or in enough of a tangible way. However, liquid, according to the Mechaber, you cannot recook. And therefore, if liquid has cooled down and it's come off the fire, you cannot put it back on the fire on Shabbos. The Ramah Paskins, that in Shin Yud Ches, I think it's a Sif Tesvav, that as long as the liquid is still warm, you can put it back on the fire on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be boiling hot, which is an interesting thing to think about. The Mechaber says, halachically, if you take food off the fire on Shabbos, and it's mavushal kol tzarkoi, and it's dry, then you can put it back, with all the other chazara halachas, if they're relevant. However, the Ramah says, as long as the liquid is still warm, then you can still put it back on Shabbos itself. Because once it's still warm, it's retained its benefit of being hot. If it's still edible in this state, that's considered to be still cooked. That's the Ramah's view, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, as brought in Archa Shabbos Perek Aleph. Let me go back, because it could have been slightly hard, that bit. We started off by saying there's something called raw fruit that can be, it's edible when it's raw. The Rambam seems to say it's mutter. The Sharetzin says that can't be, the Rambam means something else. Because water's the problem. Water, we know you transgress Bishul by cooking it. And water can be eaten, can be drunk before it's cooked. So says the Sharetzin, it means something else. Says Rav Kuhege, it's not true. Actually, fruit that's edible when it's raw is only an Issa Darabon, and it was never considered to be proper Bishul. So what about water? Water, we know, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Why would that be Bishul? Because water can be categorized, liquids are very different to solids. And liquids, the melacha, your oivers, by making them something hot, not necessarily by cooking them. And if they're a different category, therefore don't mix up the two together. And that brings us up to the first halacha, which is, that if something's yovesh and mavushal kold sarakai and it's completely cooked, then you transgress the melacha, then you don't transgress the melacha of bishul if you recook it. If something's liquid, according to the Mechaber, if it's not yata lettuce boy anymore, you transgress bishul by putting it back on the stove. Whereas according to the Ramah, as long as it's still warm, then you can put it back on. Interestingly, I think Rebbe Vadia has a tshuva that, you know, although Sfadim are very machmeh not to put on liquidy food, not to put liquid back on the blech if it's not boiling hot. I saw this only in Yalkut Yosef, I didn't see this inside, if you put the blech on the timer, and you put the liquidy soup on before the timer comes on, that's kind of a grammar, it's kind of a cause. I mean, a grammar, according to the Svada, could be mutter, and he's mutter completely. So even though it looks like the Svada over here are much more machmer, really, Rabbi Vadi has a tshuva to say, if you have a hot plate and that's on a timer, and you put the liquidy food on before the timer comes on, then actually that's mutter, because it's not like you've done it. Yeah, even completely cold. Yeah, which is just an interesting thought, because many Sfardim go with that, you know, Rabbi. Yeah, because so someone asked me about that. That's why I looked it up. So they can't be. I've seen Sfardim Shabbos morning put cold things straight on the blech, and they're much more machmer over here, because we say as long as it's still warm, you can put it back, and they say it's got to be boiling hot for you to put something on the fire.
Can an Ashkenazi then benefit from that?
I would say it's only Durabanan it could be. There's an in Shin Yud Ches, in I think it's Sif Katan Gimel in the Chafetz Chaim. I think he says that if they're Dini Durabanan, then the Ashkenazi can benefit from it. I'm not 100% sure, but I would say so. Because potentially, according to us, it could be Ein Bishlach HaBishl B'Tavolach. You can't recook something that's cold. So it could be, if this was, obviously the food's cooked from before. You can't cook on Shabbos. That's Malacha Daraisa. We're talking about reheating. So potentially, maybe, I'm not 100% sure, but based on that Mishnah Berurah, I think many a Mekel with certain Dini Durabanan to benefit from what someone else has done. And maybe over here will be true as well. I think anyway, generally, there are many heterim if you're in someone else's house and they're keeping different kinds of halachas, but I'm not clear on them. But I think over here, maybe you could rely on that.
You can ask people with Sfardim to do it for you?
I don't think so. I think you can ask them, I think you can ask them for more of something, even though you know that it's going to be, they're going to put it back on the blech and it was forbidden for you. I don't think you can ask directly, but that's the first point. I'd like to ask one more question before I finish, which is how do these halachas relate to the halachas of basa b'chalav? You can't mix meat and milk, lo sevasha gadi b'chalav imoy, once. You can't benefit, you can't eat, and you can't cook. So what if meat's already cooked and milk's already cooked? Can you then cook them together? Would that be considered to be bishul? What if you've got a fully cooked piece of meat and you've got fully cooked milk, pasteurized, let's say, it's clean, and you cook them both together? Maybe that's not bishul. Ein bishul acha bishul. There's no cooking after cooking. Maybe derabanan, but would in a situation where you go to a place where there's a non-kosher oven and they're mixing maybe meat and milk together, and you've double wrapped your food. When you turn the oven on, what you've effectively done is you've heated up the meat and milk again. But if it's already mixed from before, then maybe it's okay.
Yeah, well, that's why three times written in the Torah.
It's three times written in the Torah, but maybe this is not bishul. Maybe it's not considered to be cooking. If you've lost me completely before, think of this as a new question. There's a halacha of ein bishul acha bishul. You can't cook after you cook. And that's written mainly in Hilchos Shabbos. So does it apply to halachas of basa b'chalav as well? If you have a fully cooked piece of meat and fully cooked milk, can you cook them together? Obviously, you're not going to do that because you can't eat it anyway because you're a bonon and you can't eat anything with meat and milk. But let's say, for an example, to answer your question, you have an oven that has maybe kosher meat and milk in there. People weren't makbid. You want to heat food up in the oven. You double wrap your food so that there's no problem of any taste coming into your food. But you're effectively heating meat and milk in the oven. So are you allowed to do that?
You're assuming that the milk has not gone completely cold yet.
And let's say it has gone completely cold.
If it's gone completely cold, then according to Ramah, there is bishul acha bishul, yeah. And according to Shulchan Aruch as well, you said, once it's on the
Yeah.
So that'd be the Ramah problem.
So why is it broader than that, though? Fair enough.
Cheese and milk.
But one second.
Unless milk is different from water?
No, if it's completely cold...
Then there is bishul acha bishul in liquids, we said. Don't
but let's say with meat and cheese. Let's say with meat and cheese. Then in his situation, where it's meat and cheese in the oven together, what would be in that situation? But you're right. And then that's 100%. So then with meat and cheese. But it's interesting because I find this a fascinating question. And there's a Gemara in Chulin which the Krasi brings in Pei Zayin in Yeridea, when they were talking about not putting meat and milk food types on the table next to each other. A maskeflor of sheshes in Chulin. I think it's a Kuf base, I'm a base. Soif, soinim, but soinim who? Food types on the table is cold. What's the worst that's going to happen? So it's a Gemara, Shema Yala be'ilfas rishon. Maybe you'll put your meat in boiling hot pot, your meat and cheese in boiling hot pot, in a boiling hot kli rishon, which is on the table. You're going to put your meat in it, and you put milk in it as well. And no one brings raw meat to the table. It must be this meat was cooked already before. and we're still worried you're going to make basar chalav with it. And therefore it must be that the halachas of ein bishul achal bishul don't apply to basar chalav. And if you have fully cooked meat and fully cooked cheese and you put the two together, it would still be asa to mix them together because of the halachas of basar chalav. Why? How do we see that? Because the Gemara in Chulin says, I'm worried about having a kli rishon on the table and mixing meat and cheese in there. But what kind of food, says the crazy, do you have on your table? It's cooked meat already. We're not in the kitchen anymore. So we see from the Gemara that they were concerned about meat that was fully cooked and cheese, potentially, that was fully cooked. I just want to say one more thing.
Also in the taste.
Oh, no, 100%. You've got to understand, though, that's when you have a piece of meat and you have a piece of cheese, and you're mixing, or piece of some milk, and you're mixing the two together. And you're mixing the two together, even if it's fully cooked, it's still going to be basar b'chalav. But what would be, think of one more scenario, what would be if it was already cooked? You already put meat together with milk, and you already cooked it together. And it hasn't cooled down. Would you transgress basar b'chalav by cooking it again? Or would you say ein bishul acha bishul? Let me just go back one more time. There's meat. But on Shabbos we have halacha, which is ein bishul acha bishul, which means you can't cook after you cook. So we're discussing whether these halachas are relevant to halachas of basar b'chalav. That means there's also halacha of tevasha. And we discussed in this year, I think last month, that bishul is such a broad question. Bishul, what's considered to be cooking is relevant to bishul akum, is relevant to Pesach, it's relevant to basar b'chalav. So what's the halacha of basar b'chalav if something's already cooked? If it's cooked already before, do you transgress the malacha of cooking meat and milk together if you mix it once it's cooked? And the answer is, we see from the Gemara that yes, even if it's already cooked and you mix it together, you transgress the malacha of basar b'chalav. Now what happens if you already mixed the meat and milk together and you already cooked it on the fire? Would you transgress the malacha of bishul if you then recooked it? What do I want to say? Anyone have any opinions?
There's hanah all the time.
Yeah, okay. But let's say in the case where there's no hanah. If you're working in such a place, then maybe potentially it would be different. Yeah, fair enough. Because you're dealing to an extent with the basar and chalav. But there I would say it's mutter. You would say, of course there's no bishul after bishul. Because the problem, the issur of cooking basar and chalav is that you're transferring taste from one into another. Once you've transferred the taste from one into another and they've been fused together, you can't do that again. That's happened already. On Shabbos, we're looking to create something and to cook something. With meat and milk, we're looking to transfer and infuse them into the other. And therefore, once that's happened, you can't recook it again. So in your case, or where the oven, when you have it in the oven, it'll be mutter to double wrap something and put it into the oven. Simply because once you've put the objective of basar b'chalav is to nois in tam zeh b'zeh, is to put taste from one into the other. Therefore, once that's happened. I'll just do chazara of what we've done. We start off by differentiating between avoida and malacha. And we said the malacha is creative work and avoida is not. And the question we had was, all the dinei d'rabbanan are very irrelevant to malacha at all. And the answer we gave was that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that nowadays it's different. Nowadays we need more to inspire us and to an extent to keep us within the framework of keeping it. So whereas maybe thousands of years ago it was inconceivable to write on Shabbos or to fix your wagon on Shabbos or maybe to turn up your coals on Shabbos and to stoke them, that's not true anymore. And therefore you need Dinei D'Rabbanan to make sure you keep the halachas of Shabbos, even though they're non-creative. That's Rabbi Yaakov's answer. Then we discussed bishul is making something edible from raw to cooked. But how is that relevant, we wanted to know, to food that's either edible even when it's raw, or if it's fully cooked already? We said the Rambam says that it's seemingly, if food was edible when it's raw, then you don't transgress bishul by cooking it. That was the first halacha we mentioned. Then we moved on to bishul acha bishul, cooking after cooking. With the dry foodstuffs and substance, it's completely mutter. And with liquid, it's not. The liquid is mainly machmer according to the machaba. The Ramah says as long as it's warm, it's okay. Then we moved on. We wanted to know what halacha would be by basar b'chalav. And we said if the meat and milk were already cooked before, and you mix them together, even though normally there's ein bishul acha bishul, There's no cooking after cooking. Here, of course, there's cooking after cooking. Because when you mix them together, the problem of cooking basar v'chalav is by cooking them to mix the taste one into the other. On Shabbos, the problem of cooking on Shabbos is that you transfer something. You make it ready to eat. Lo Savasha Gadiba Chalev Imai says, don't take meat and don't take milk and cook it together so that they become one. They become one piece of meat and milk. So why would that make a difference whether it's cooked before or not? Either way, you transgress it. But once it's already cooked and it's already come into one piece of meat and milk, then maybe that potentially would be mutter. Thank you.
Cover it, yeah, you can. So if you cover it, if it's not kosher,